All right, everyone, we're going to go ahead and get started this morning. If you are out in the grand atrium, and a lot of you are, y'all go ahead and start coming on in, all right? If you're in the bookstore, finish up that last swig of coffee. Go ahead and make your way in. We're going to get cranked up. It's good to see you this morning. Welcome, welcome. Good to have you for Sunday school. Thank you for being here for this special time this morning. We really appreciate that very, very much. We're going to get things opened up, and then Brother Mike Horn's going to be coming. He's going to be teaching our lesson today. And so we're excited about that. So we did pass out a handout this morning where you can just jot down some references and things like that, and while he teaches today. And then, as always, there's a spot at the bottom of the handout for a prayer request. If you have a special prayer request, you can jot those down in that little space, and they're tear it off at the preparation line, and you can turn those into the information desk throughout the day, and they'll make sure that I get them before we leave tonight. And so anyway, we had the opportunity to pray over your prayer slips this week, and so we'll try to do that this week as well. How many of you have a special request of prayer, and you'd signify that by an uplifted hand? So a lot of hands all over the house this morning. Thanks for praying for us in the meeting this week. We had a really, really good meeting at Victory Bible Baptist Church, and we really, really appreciate your prayers, and God sure blessed, and we thank the Lord for that. Good services every single night, and we're sure excited about being back at Calvary today. Kids made it in safe, and so it's good to have Zach and Amber in our class today, and it's good to have you in the class today. Thank you for being a part of this time together. And the Lord has chosen to give us a little rain this morning, and so he knows what we need. Amen? And so we'll trust him. We'll trust him with that. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Get things started out right today. And then Brother Mike's going to come, and he's going to teach us this morning. Father, thank you so much for the privilege to be, Lord, back at Calvary today. Thank you for the incredible week that you've blessed us with. Father, thank you for blessing over in the camp meeting at Victory Bible. I pray, Father, that the pastor and his family were encouraged. And I pray that the dear congregation there was encouraged and edified. I believe they were. And God, I'm so thankful for all that you accomplished over there this week. And then, Lord, thank you for giving us a good week here at Calvary. And Father, we're grateful for the privilege, Lord, to be here this morning. Father, thank you for bringing the kids in safely. We appreciate that. We thank you for the safety and the watch care that you have given us this week. Lord, thank you for just blessing us and watching over us. Father, we pray that you'd bless in every hand that was lifted this morning. You know the needs behind those hands that were lifted. God, it might be salvation. We sure pray that you would save those that are lost and undone without Christ. Lord, it could be physical healing. We pray, Lord, that you'd give healing where healing is needed. I know there are some of our folks that are under the weather. Lord, it could be that there's just burdens, and maybe folks are experiencing valleys. Could be there's some parents here today that are burdened about their loved ones or their children, and we sure pray, Lord, that you might give victory in those situations. Lord, I thank you for the rain, the physical rain. Thank you for the showers of blessings, God, that you bestowed upon us this week. Lord, we're asking you to come in mighty power today. And God, I pray that throughout the course of the class that folks will continue to pour in, and Lord, that you'd give us a mountaintop day. I pray that Jesus will receive glory and praise and honor from all that's done. And we pray, Father, that we'll worship you in spirit and in truth. Now, Lord, I pray you'll get us ready to receive what you have for us from your word today. I pray that you'd anoint Brother Mike. God, I pray that you'd give him clarity of thought. I pray you bring to his remembrance that which he studied this week, that which you've given to him. And God, I pray that he would be able to share it with us in such a way that we would be built up in the faith. And Lord, that we would ultimately leave here being able to say it was good to be in the house of the Lord. So Father, magnify thy word today. And we pray that we would be better servants because of this time that we have together. We love you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Brother Mike, good to see you today. Come on, if you will.
You thought we were just shaking hands, but he was helping me up the steps. He's nice to old people. Usually I just have a few notes. I only have six pages this morning, so shouldn't be too bad. Well, after Brandon's message Wednesday, did you get up this morning and thank God for your blessings this morning? Or did you get up this morning and say, oh God, why did I have to get up? You know the way you get up kind of governs your day, right? Unless you give it to God. So I appreciate what he said. We're going to be in Hebrews. I love the book of Hebrews. I preached through the book of Hebrews one time. That was back in 07, down here in the small building. And that's the only time I've ever gotten all the way through it. But I love the book of Hebrews. You know why? Because it tells me as a Gentile what I got when I got saved. Most of us Gentiles do not know what it's like, the meaning of that when he makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Because we don't know the law. We think the law is Ten Commandments. There's over 600 Old Testament commandments from God. And if you broke one, according to James, if you broke one, you broke them all. Or you're guilty of all. How many times do you have to go to jail to be an ex-con? And you don't have to kill anybody? You don't have to steal anything? Just go. Just have somebody accuse you of something where you're an ex-con. Once. And so in our lives, the same thing with when it says we're sinners, doesn't mean we're a bad person. It means we're not right with God. We've got sin, and sin will keep us out of heaven. Killing somebody's not going to keep you out of heaven. Adultery's not going to keep you out of heaven. Robbery is not going to keep you out of heaven. But refusing Jesus Christ as your Savior will keep you out of heaven. See? Because he is the only one that can or has already paid the payment for your sin and my sin. Right. So no matter how good we are, we're still sinners. That's why a preacher gets up here and like the rest of us, we're sinners. We're just saved by grace. That means none of us have done anything to get salvation. God didn't call us to preach and then save us. That'd be stupid. So the book of Hebrews is written to Jewish Christians. They're saved. But they're still holding on to some of the things that they learned being a Jew. I remember when I first got saved, you didn't walk into church and talk to anybody, because that's what I grew up in. Methodist church back then was rigid. And you just, if you talk to anybody, you talk real soft. But fellowshipping like we do? No. And so when I got saved, it kind of bothered me that all these people were so noisy in church. It wasn't because they were wrong or I was wrong. It's because that's what I grew up with. And when you get saved, sometimes it's hard to get rid of what you grew up with. And you can be offended in church over something that's in your past, that you learned in your past. But what we need to realize is we've been saved from all of that. And what I didn't know was when you got saved, you became part of the family. And when our family gets around, it's not very quiet. But some people, I guess, they're mad at each other, so they don't talk. But not our family, even before I was saved. So be careful that you don't judge your brother or sister in Christ in something that they do in the church or don't do in the church because you don't feel right about it. Now, is there certain things that they should not do? Absolutely. But you know what? A child learns to eat steak. And they don't learn overnight. A child learns to potty, but they don't learn that the first time they got a potty. And so we've got to let our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we've had a lot saved and joined a church in the last few years. We need to let them grow. A person could have been saved for 20 years but been in a liberal church and not know it, and then get in a church like this and it blows their mind. And so Hebrews is written to Christian Jews like the church at Jerusalem. 5,000 people. I mean, we've had a big influx of people here, but we never had 3,000 at one time. And then a few days later, get 5,000 more. I mean, that, I think Brother Pope would lose all his hair. Look like Zach. Boy, you ought to give out sunglasses, brother, I tell you. Amber polishes that thing up good, I tell you. Don't say nothing? Okay. Hebrews chapter 1, we're gonna try to get through the three verses. God, who at sundry times in a divers manner spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophet, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the express, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, that's the three verses. When he starts out, God tells these Christians that what you're used to in time past, at sundry times, different times, God spake unto us by the prophets. God used men to speak to us and to the fathers, but he used prophets to do that. So they're used to somebody else having the rule over them. Now, pastor speaks to us, but God speaks to us too. Because in the next part of that verse it says, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. You know, there's one thing about pastor getting up here and explaining what Amber did out there. Zach. I know all the messages you got for him and all that. No. Got to give him a hard time. It's been a long time. Got to make up for lost time. But it's one thing for Zach to, or pastor to explain what Zach's doing out there. But it's another thing for Zach to come and tell us. Have you ever had your wife try to explain something that she heard on the phone? My wife is horrible at that. Now, she knows what she heard. But ladies, let's just face it. When you tell something, you have to tell every little detail. And us guys just want to get to the bottom line. What is it? 2-3 words and we're done. Bye. See? Well, I tell you. So God now has, instead of sending prophets to us, he sent his own son to us. And today, the Lord Jesus speaks to us through the Holy Spirit of God. Now, we give a lot of credit to the Holy Spirit, and we should. But I got news for you. His main responsibility is to magnify the Lord Jesus. When you want to be filled with the Spirit, people are not going to see the Spirit. They're going to see the Lord Jesus. And when you talk, you shouldn't talk about the Spirit all the time. You should talk about the Lord Jesus. Because it says in John that he will speak of me. And he will teach you. What's he going to teach us? About Jesus Christ. It tells us that we're supposed to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need in Sunday school. We need church. Because we're supposed to grow. Right. How about everybody just stop growing? Now, some of us older will say, okay. Well, really not. I'm looking forward to heaven. My aches and pains are getting more than I want to hang on to. But we need to grow. We should always realize we're growing. We are growing. Not just the young Christians, but all of us are growing. I remember, I don't remember if it was Brother B.B. or it was one of those men. I know Pastor said it too. But I heard it before he said it. That you can learn from anybody. These three young men that preach, that have been called to preach, you can learn from them. I learned from them. God doesn't talk to me or to Pastor or to Mike. Mike's hiding on me. Oh, there he is, way back in the back. He speaks to each one of us, and we can learn from one another. That's why it's important for us to have fellowship. I like the ladies with their prayer requests. How else is anybody going to know to pray for you? And so you need to realize that Jesus Christ is foremost in the Scriptures. But he's exalted and he's revealed through the power of the Holy Spirit in you. How are you going to live godly without the Holy Spirit of God in you? You can't. So he talks to us by his son. Now, who is the son? I want to give you these things, okay? These glasses are right in between where I can see and where I have to get way down. They made the, Brother Hoots, you made the pulpit too far away from me. See, I got to blame it on somebody. First of all, it says there, let me just say this. It doesn't identify name-wise who the Son of God is until chapter 2. So all of chapter 1 is about the Son of God, but he doesn't identify him as who the Son of God is. But it does tell us some things about the Son of God. We see there in verse 2 and 3. Spoken unto whom hath appointed heir of all things. He's the heir of all things. Everything. Everything you see, he owns. There's nothing he doesn't own. It's all his. And you're a joint heir. Now, an heir does not receive anything until the one who his heir dies. But they are that what he owns is still the heir's. When the heir dies, then the one following receives the inheritance. And Jesus is not going to die, so we're not going to lose anything. By the way, I don't want what's outside. I got a new one coming. I don't want an old model. I want the new model. And some people, we're not going to get into that. That's a rabbit, but I like to chase it. He's heir of all things, by whom he made the world. The Son of God made the world. Now, Preacher showed us a few weeks ago that all three members of the Trinity, are part of creation. And they are. But the Son is. Now, if he made all things, then he was not made. And if he was not made, then he's eternal. And if he's eternal, then he is God. So this little statement here is very important. By whom he made, not evolved. He made all things. And whatever you see out here, he made. By the way, he made it already fully developed. You want to know which came first, the chicken or the egg? The chicken did. Because everything's made from what was made. The egg doesn't produce an egg. A chicken produces an egg. Some of y'all know about that. I think Brother Hoots just got a whole bunch in shortly. Yeah. That was a lot of chickens in that house. Man. Can you imagine so many drumsticks? Man. Baptists would have gone crazy in there. But he made it. The oak tree was already an oak tree. He made Adam and Eve adults that could multiply and reproduce as adults. Adam and Eve did not know what it was to be a teenager. They did not know what it was to change a diaper. They didn't know what it was to feed the baby when they were created, because they were created as adults. So everything you see out here, he made. Now, he may not have made that tree. He made it to grow, but he made the first one. So he's creator. Who being the brightness of his glory, he's a revelation of God. He's the brightness of his glory. When Solomon built the temple, and it was all done, I don't know, several million dollars. In today's economy, I can't remember. 40 million sounds like, I don't know if that was the right number, somewhere around there. But after Solomon prayed his prayer that the Lord would give him wisdom, everybody had to leave the temple because the glory of God came in. When Moses was on the mount, the glory of God came down. Nobody wanted to go up. And he's a brightness of his glory. No wonder in New Jerusalem we don't need the sun. Because it says he is the sun. And no wonder in John he says, I am the light of the world. Because the brightness of God's glory is seen in the person of Jesus Christ. So when people stand before the Lord Jesus as lost, and they're going to be, they're going to be condemned to the lake of fire. Well, I never saw the Lord Jesus. Yeah, you did. Brightness of his glory. Look at his creation. Look at him. Then it says there, express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. I remember I think it was Brandon. use Colossians. And it says, and by him all things consist. This is the same word. It's held together. He holds everything together. Remember I've said before that if you have a pen, which I see several of you have pens, I got one in my pocket. Everything is made out of atoms. But we as human beings cannot see one atom. We can't see a million atoms. But think back. Now, some of you older ones, you can do this. Some of you young kids like Rodney down here can't remember. But think back when you saw the pictures of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. You know what that was? One atom. They learned how to split one atom. And when they split it, the atomic bomb and destroyed everything. Now, you take the pen you hold in your hand. It's just a pen. There's enough atoms in that one pen, no matter who has which pen, to completely destroy the world. And Jesus Christ holds all of that together to make the pen. Everything we have is made out of atoms. So take your clothes. That's a lot more than the pen. His power, the power to hold everything together is awesome. And yet, he gives us that power if we want it. He says, if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. And it will do it. A mountain. How's a mountain going to cast itself in the sea? Your faith. I don't have that kind of faith. I don't have faith the size of a mustard seed because I can't do that. And we've got to be careful that we don't relegate Jesus to just a man that did great things. He's God that did marvelous things. And he hasn't finished yet. And we don't know yet what he's going to do with us because our life isn't over. Nobody knew that Lee Robertson was going to become the pastor of church there in Chattanooga. But he was a little old boy. Nobody knew that Hiles, Jack Hiles, little boy that went to Sunday school with no shoes, ragged pants, named Jackie Boy, right? Become a pastor of one of the largest churches in America, maybe the world. Nobody knew that Spurgeon was going to have a tabernacle in England that held over 5,000 people, and they stood outside to listen. They didn't know that when they got him together and led him to Christ. Is it important to teach boys and girls about Jesus? Absolutely. Because when they start getting older, they think they're getting smarter, but they're really getting dumber. And as they get older, they can be taught what we're trying to learn as old fogies. But you know why it's harder to come up here? Because we've got so much other stuff up here. They don't. And so be very careful what you teach your children and your grandchildren because they're learning, they're watching, they're wanting to know. Excuse me. I don't know where that came from. And then in verse 3, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, when he had by himself. Himself is a is what we call in English an intensifier. It could have said, when he had purged our sin, been sent. But when he said, by himself hath purged our sin, that intensifies what's being said. In other words, he and nobody else, he himself, or if it says somewhere in the Bible, God himself, that's an intensifier. It intensifies the noun, and it draws attention to it, that is a particular person they're talking about. You just can't put anybody in there. Now, some of you remember when I did the thing on Ephesians, on salvation. Ephesians 2, verse 5 and verse 8. For by grace you are saved. And that word saved is in the perfect tense. Now, let me just say this. Anytime I have looked up a Greek word for what's in the English, it really makes it stronger. It doesn't destroy the Word of God. It makes the Word of God stronger every time. Every time so far. Well, this is the same thing, except it's not the perfect tense. When he had by himself purged is not in the perfect tense. But it is in the middle voice. Now, the middle voice is different than the, you got present, middle, and future. The middle voice, the subject the subject participates in the verb of what's going on. In other words, Jesus, not only washed us from our sins, he washed himself from our sins. Now, let's think about that a minute. Peter tells us that he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. His sins are here, okay? How did we get rid of our sins? Washed in the blood. How did he get rid of our sins? Washed in the blood. The only thing that's going to get rid of sin is the blood of Jesus. And I said, yeah, but wait a minute now. He took part of his blood to heaven. That doesn't compute until God reminded me of the Old Testament sacrifice. Every year, once a year, the high priest on Passover, they would sacrifice the lamb, and he would take some of the blood. All he had to do was sprinkle it seven times on the mercy seat. What did he do with the rest of the blood? They poured it out at the foot of the brazen altar. He never took all the blood into the Holy of Holies, the high priest did. But he did take a part of the blood of the animal that was sacrificed in there as a representation. And the rest of the blood, which they couldn't do anything with the blood, so it had to be poured out, and God told them this, at the foot of the brazen altar. So Jesus, you know, people say, and I agreed with it for years, but it just doesn't make any sense. When he was scourged and became as not even looked like a man, he bled in the praetorium where they tied him up and beat him. So part of his blood was on the ground in there. That blood was not the blood that washed your sins away. That blood was a result of man's depravity. They hit him, slapped him, pulled his beard. You think when he pulled his beard out, the blood didn't come? It doesn't say that he pulled his beard. It said he pulled it out. I mean, he did go some, but all of that was not for our salvation. The blood that was shed was after he took our sin. Because the blood was to wash our sins away. That's what it says in Revelation 1:5. Is that he washed our sins away. Where did he wash them away? He washed them away from his body. Now, listen, if he didn't get rid of our sins from his body could not go back to heaven. Think about that now. I mean, that sounds weird right at first, but think about it. Sin's not allowed in heaven. In fact, in the Old Testament Psalms, it says, holy heaven. So there's no sin in heaven. So for Jesus to go back to heaven, he had to get rid of our sins from his body that he bore our sins in. The only way he could do that is to wash them. So when it says that he by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty. He washed our sins, and when he washed our sins from his body, he had no more sin. And so he took some of his blood to heaven, to the temple in heaven, and sprinkled his blood on the mercy seat. He didn't pour it. He sprinkled it. And when God sees you, he doesn't look at the cross, at the blood there, because that blood was filled with sin. But he looks at the blood that's on the mercy seat in heaven that never changes, because what's in heaven is eternal. And that's why we can have forgiveness of our sins. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, because the blood is perfect blood in heaven. What was shed on the cross was imperfect blood because it had our sins in it. And so he purged us from our sins. And when he purged us, he purged himself. That's the middle voice. He is a great high priest. And there's nothing that he couldn't do. Then he sat down on the majesty, right hand of the majesty on high. That's a place of distinction. He sat down on the right hand of God. He is God. But he sat down. He sat down. When the priest was through reading the law and everything, and he would give the person that read, and you can read this in your Gospels, they would give the scroll back to the priest and then sit down. Why? Because they were through. They were finished. When it says he sat down, that meant it was done. There was no more he needed to do. And that's another reason why in Hebrews, later on, it says that if they shall fall away, shall renew them again. It's impossible to renew them again to salvation because there's no more sacrifice for sin. See, that's why we don't have to get saved over and over and over and over, because there's no sin. We have no sin. It's all under the blood. Because of God's great mercy and grace. And then in from verse 4 on, it tells why Jesus is better than the angels. He tells us why. Not because he's just God, but because the angels worshiped him. And whoever you worship, that's your God. Today, if you worship football and don't come to church because of football, then football is your God. Now, I've just got through reading Kings, and I'm in Chronicles now, but it says over there that the people feared God and sacrificed to their idols. I just couldn't. If they feared God, why did they sacrifice to their idols? They were afraid. Before I was saved, I feared God. I knew God could take me out anytime he wanted to. And there were several times he could. But I still lived the life I wanted to, even though I feared God. And so people today, they may fear God, but it's not a fear that will cause them to be drawn to the Son of God who can give them deliverance from that fear. It tells us in Romans that we're held in fear. We were held in fear. Hebrews is a great book. And it keeps on going and talks about why it was better than the angels. Divinely. And then next chapter is why it's better than the angels humanly. And then it goes on, better covenant, better sacrifice, better high priest, better priesthood. All of these things were important to the Jews. Now listen, whatever was important to you and your previous denomination or religious belief, it's okay. Just don't let that take the place of what the Bible says about Jesus Christ being greater. If you have to believe what you used to believe over the person of Jesus Christ, because he's supposed to be first place, then you got yourself all mixed up. And the devil can come in and hurt you and get you twisted up. So always, is this going to magnify the Lord Jesus? Is this going to bring glory to God? Is this going to help or hurt the testimony of Jesus Christ? Not my testimony, but the testimony of Jesus Christ. Because when people see me, they're supposed to see Jesus Christ. So is this going to hurt the testimony of Jesus Christ? That answers a lot of questions. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you that you had a plan before the foundation of the world, before you ever made the first Adam out there. You had it all worked out. It's amazing to me that you waited so long before you revealed your Son to the world. And he, you know, for me, I'd have just been chomping at the bits. But he very calmly came, lived among no one that was holy. All were sinners. And yet he still suffered to die. Not because it was such a great thing, but because he looked forward to the future. He knew that beyond the cross, people would be saved. And so, Lord, help us to look beyond the trial or the tribulation we may be going through, the suffering, and see that you are in control of our lives as you allow Jesus to be in control of creation. Give us a great day today. Be with Pastor, fill him with the Spirit of God. May he preach the word of God with power. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Was a hurry. He smiled up at me and he said,
I was trying to catch the crippled man. Did he run past this way?
He was rushing home to tell everyone what Jesus did today.
And the mute man was telling myself and